Well, good morning. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. That's going to be our text as we get started here in just a moment. As you notice from our singing, and Evan and I were talking about this past week, these are all the songs that we've been singing are all about focusing on God and all about, you know, praising God, and their prayers that are just to God. You know, a lot of times our prayer life and our focus on God is a focus on God in as much as it pertains to, you know, His blessing us, or our focus is on God in as much as we are just, you know, maybe referencing Him and talking about all that He gives us, or thank you for this, or please do this, or please do that. But as we've sang this morning, I hope that our hearts and our mind have just been truly focused on the goodness of God, the reality of who God is and His holiness. Not so much God as He pertains to giving us stuff. Not, you know, a focus on God, not so much that as He pertains to healing us or blessing us or necessarily causing circumstances to be this or that, but does our life focus on God? Does our heart and our songs and our prayers focus on God for who He is, His holiness? Do we stand in awe? Or are we near the cross? The reality of where our sin has taken our God and where our God has brought us. So this morning I want to read a little bit about a prayer that Paul prays. And it's a prayer that's focused on God, and it's a prayer that pertains to other people, and it's really short, and we don't get the prayer, but we get the prayer talked about. We get the attitude of Paul and the relationship with God and God's holiness. We get that spoken of and referenced here. And he tells the Thessalonians, he says in verse 2, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, in two verses there, Paul gives us an insight into the relationship that he has, not only with God, but the relationship that he has with those people, with his co-laborers in Christ. And his focus on God is one that is so intense. It's one that is so overwhelming for him that it defines who he is. And so as we look at this, the title of the sermon, the direction that I want to go this morning, as we focus on God, we realize that a focus on God is a focus on one another. And the friendships and the relationships and the labor that we have with one another, and the faith and the love and the hope and all of that that goes with it. But as we turn our hearts towards God, they can't help but be turned towards each other. A focus on God is a focus on each other. And as we go through this passage here, as we look in verse 2, my challenge is, do we always do anything before God? I mean, just think about that for just a second. You know, this is a word that, or a phrase in this passage that we could just gloss over. We always pray for you. We always think about you. We always talk to God about you. We always do this. We always do that. My question this morning, and just a jumping off point for before we get into the rest of this, is, do we always do anything? Is there any characteristic of our life? Is there any reality of God in us that makes us just always do anything before God? Paul says, "I always remember you in my prayers." You know, as I look into the audience, as I survey the friendships, there's some always, you know, that comes to mind. You know, I'm always a college football fan, or I'm always a golfer, Or I'm always thinking of ways to teach children more and more. I'm always, considering, I'm always thinking about the homes that I'm listing for sale. Or I'm always doing this, or I'm always doing that. Are we always doing anything before God? Is our life so consumed with the reality and the presence of God that we could say, I always thank God for all of you. Man, I'm always praying. And this isn't just words to Paul. This isn't just, something that a greeting that means nothing. More and more and more as you read through the epistles, more and more as you read through the writings of Paul and the descriptions of him, that's exactly what he did. He says to the Philippians, as I've often told you again, I say with tears, he says that I pray continually for you. He tells them, I thank God every time I remember you. He's all about prayer and all about being before God. Always, is our life defined in these always terms? Is our prayer and our focus, is our communion with God continual? Because Paul is calling us. The Bible's calling, the songs that we sing express a desire to always be before God. But we do. We pray for one another. And we focus on God, but is it a generic thing where we say, we know someone's hurting or we know someone's doing something good and we just say, Lord, thank you for this person, or God, be with them or bless them in some generic kind of, universal way. A lot of times I fear that our prayers and our focus on God that is focused on it is so generic. And it lacks a specificity that God is calling us to. That Paul illustrates, and he says, in verse 3, we continually remember before our God and our Father. And he goes through three things. He goes through some characteristics of this life. Characteristics that are worthy of prayer, and they're specific. They're not just generic. As we focus on God, there's things that we're drawn to that aren't just, nebulous and undefined. His relationship with these people brought out. He says, we continually remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith. As our life, as we stand in awe of God, as we draw near to the cross, as we've sung this morning, when our hearts, pant and thirst after God like an animal thirsts for water in the stream, in the forest. You ever, as we sang that song this morning, did you think about the options? Did you think about the options that the deer has? Did anybody else think about, the deer, as the deer thirsts for strength, because go to Psalm 42, because that's where that guy stole that song out of. You go to Psalm 42, and he says, as the deer thirsts for streams of water, of streams, streams in the woods. Did anybody else think, why doesn't the deer just go and get a Coke? Why doesn't the deer just, go to the refrigerator and hit the little button and get some, refrigerated filtered water? Why doesn't the deer go, the reality is that's his only option, is the stream. He's got no other choice. Just like that is the kind of reality relationship that God is calling us to. One there's no other choice. Do we invent other choices? But see, it's a work that's produced. He's calling us. He's saying, like, guys, I remember in prayer this work produced by faith in God, in this faith that is because there's nothing else to believe in. There's nothing else to have faith in. And that faith produces something in you, and it produces these works. And we realize that faith is important. It's so important to believe and to know God with a faith that the Ephesians, that Paul tells the Ephesians, we're saved through this faith. You know, he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, you are saved by grace through your faith. You know, a focus on God is important because we're saved through that. He doesn't stop there. And he talks about in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that this faith, this focus on God that we see in one another, we're justified by this faith. He says that in Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please God without this. And then James 2 and 17 said, you know what? And your faith shows up. It's not just words. This isn't just spoken of. Our relationship, our deep commitment and continual alwaysness before God shows up in a way that isn't just talked about. He says, you know what? Faith without works. And this morning, I want to clarify something about those works. A lot of times we think about our faith, our communion with God, our focus on God, that as we see this in each other, as working and doing things. But really the work that's produced by faith is righteous. He's talking about righteousness. He's talking about treating one another with a Christ-likeness, a Christ-centeredness, a selflessness. He's saying, guys, I see that. As I focus my life on God, as I praise God and I recognize Him for who He is, I see in you the selflessness that God displayed through Christ. And it's producing a righteousness in you that I recognize, and I thank God always for that. And what a specific thing. Wouldn't you love to be the kind of person that this prayer, this specific thing, you know, isn't, hey, I was praying for you. You know what? I remembered your righteousness that's produced by your undying belief in God. I remembered that in prayer today. Man, what an honor to live that life that doesn't pray this prayer, but produces this prayer in others. He goes on. He doesn't just talk about their work, their righteousness that's produced by faith in God, but he says, you know, not only your work produced by faith, but your labor that's prompted by love. And you see, labor is different than works. You know, labor, he uses two different words here. He uses two different seeds that produce these things. And he says, you know, that your labor is produced by your love for God and your love for others. It's different than your works of righteousness. See, labor and work are different. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, if you've got a Bible, turn with me. I don't think I've got that one up on the screen in quotes. But 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he's talking about, you know, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Okay, same word, but I'm going somewhere. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Labor is kingdom building. This is kingdom building. This is gospel spreading language, what he's talking about. He's saying that as you're always before God, as this alwaysness before God, this continual communion with God, this love that's generated out of that, it produces a labor. It spreads the gospel. It spreads the kingdom. You see, when we stand in awe of God, when we're near the cross, when our soul thirsts after God and we seek His presence and we're always continually consumed with Him, our love for Him grows more and more every day, every minute. You know what that looks like when your love for God grows? It looks like your love for people grows. The exact same time, at the exact same rate. And you know what you see when you walk around Tullahoma, when your love for God, when you stand in awe of God, when you're continually and always before God, you know what you see when you walk around this town? You know what happens to you? You see lost people. Remember that movie? What was it, Haley Joe? What's the guy's name, the kid? I see Osborne. What, you know that movie, The Sixth Sense? Sixth Sense, that was it. Evan is a movie aficionado, so that's why I was deferring to him. Remember that movie, one of the like top 100 quotes in all of movies? I see dead people. You know, he saw these people, the spirits or whatever, walking around, and the whole movie was about that. You know, when your love for God grows daily in His presence, you see dead people. You see people walking around, not just the guy in front of you at Walmart who's taking his own sweet time. Come on, use your debit card, man. You don't need exact change. Not the jerk that just cuts you off or the person who's annoying at work. You see lost people who need so desperately to know about a God who hung on a cross for them. And maybe God is hiding the exact change in their purse in front of you in the store so that you will cry out to them. You'll have one more second in front of, you know, just one more moment to say, do you know Jesus? Maybe. Just not always before God. I know I'm not. And it breaks my heart most of the time. It's the labor that Jesus left us to do. And it's gospel spreading language. Then he goes on and he says that, you know what, you guys have an endurance that's inspired by hope. I love that word, inspired. You know, I do a lot of things, you know, as a minister, as a father, as a husband. I try to challenge people. I try to convict them. I try to, you know, with my kids, to force them, to make them, to command. Oh, that's a big one. I command you. But man, our God, when we're in His presence, when we are always and continually before Him, we're inspired. Ladies, have you ever been out, you know, shopping or whatever it is that y'all do and been gone for a while, or and you come home and, you know, your husband was going to, you know, he was going to, I don't know, clean up the garage. And you come home after a, you know, long day of what you were doing, and you pull up and the garage, not only is it cleaned out, but, I mean, there's shelves built. There's the, you know, the garage floor is painted, and there's maybe like a one of those little tennis balls hanging from the roofs of the garage. So you just pull your car right up to it, and it taps the window, and you can don't have to run into the garage wall anymore. You know, and there's just and there's landscaping. Maybe there's flowers planted, and just this job that was gonna be, you know, I gotta straighten up the garage today. And then you come home, and it's just bigger than you ever thought it would be. Has that ever happened? Maybe not to that extent, but you're just like, wow, what happened? What does he say? I got inspired. You ever heard that? Oh, I got out there doing the garage and I just got inspired to do this and that. He said, you endurance. And endurance is big because Paul talks about endurance, and it's a theme that Paul understands and he expresses often, because this life is hard and we get tired and we want to quit, and our alwaysness before God turns into a rarity or a neverness. And he says, man, you've got this endurance and it's inspired. It's just, it wells up within you. It's not something that's made or forced or convicted. He says, you guys are going to live, you're before God, you live differently. And that's what Peter tries to tell us in 1 Peter 3 and 15. He says, man, always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. Now, why does he pick hope? Because it's going to cause us to act, live, talk, breathe, interact differently. People are going to notice, and they're going to ask,
What in the world, why do you let that, why do you let people take advantage of you? Why do you give so much? Why don't you stand up for yourself? Why don't you fight harder? And you say, look, I have a hope in Jesus. I have hope. And I endure because of my hope. You see, we argue and we fight. We're mean and we're ugly to one another because of our fear, because of our insecurity. But when there's hope, when God's taken all that away, it inspires us. We live differently. If you haven't left Thessalonians yet, which I have, which I will get back to. Somebody move it. There it is. Verse 4, he goes on to say, for we know, brothers, loved by God. I love the way Paul writes. You know what we would do right there? You can just go to the next one blank. For we know, brothers, that he has chosen you. That's what we would write. Because, man, Paul's awesome. For we know, brothers, loved by God. Doesn't that just have such a ring to it? He's just reminding them, don't forget you're loved by God. He's chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, with power, and with deep conviction. You see, as we live always before God, we can pray specific things like this about one another. And we can have specific things like this prayed about us by one another. You know what happens when that goes on? God is glorified. His kingdom is built. His kingdom is maintained here on this earth. The power of God is seen. You know what I want more than anything? More than anything in this world. This is the universal sign for I'm done. What I want more than anything in this world is for people to see the power of God in my life. And not just to hear me talk about it. Not just to hear me say it, but for them to say, man, the gospel, it came with power. Change that guy. Because I can talk about it all day long. You're like, yeah, tell us about it. I want to see it. I want people to see it. Not just to hear it. This morning, you have an opportunity. I want to challenge you to be inspired. To put Christ on and as your Savior, as your Lord. And maybe if you've done that and you've been baptized and you've walked that walk and you've experienced the difficulty of the life, the pagan world that Jim's talking about, that we all know about. You've lived that and you want to get back to the alwaysness of God. This morning you can do that. Let whatever need you have be known as together we stand and as we sing.